I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number is to call tonight, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. I know that many times on this show, when I want to talk about dystopia, I always refer to George Orwell's 1984. And how this dark dystopian novel mirrors the world we live in today. I mean, everybody who wants to point out the pitfalls of our existence in the United States looks to INGSOC, English Socialism, looks to what was said by George Orwell in 1984, the book, even in Animal Farm. But that's not the only story that has a monopoly on how we're living today. And I want to share with you a couple of other stories that seem to illustrate what we're up against as people. And just thinking about how prophetic they are, just basically, I mean, just thinking about it just sends a cold chill to my soul. I have in my office, and for those of you that sometimes see me do videos in my office, I have in my office this picture of Philip K. Dick. Now, Philip K. Dick is probably one of the most successful science fiction writers who posthumously has had a lot of his stories turned into movies, from Blade Runner to Minority Report, Total Recall, other films. But one of my favorite stories by him is not a film. And I don't know if they'll ever make a film about it, but they should. It's called The Mold of Yancey. Philip K. Dick wrote The Mold of Yancey back in 1954. It was a short story. Now you can find it in a compilation book called The Minority Report, which has, of course, the Minority Report in it, but it's also this story, The Mold of Yancey. Basically, the story is about how a police contingent from Earth is notified by computer analysis that the human colony on the planet Callisto is moving toward a totalitarian structure. Now, they're puzzled when, upon arriving on Callistan soil, they don't find any of the presumed hallmarks of totalitarianism. The society appears almost identical to the United States in the 1950s, probably as identical as it could be to us prior to 9/11, right? Well, legal governments there set up in a very archaic fashion. There's a two-party system, one a little more conservative than the other. Sound familiar? No really fundamental difference, of course, as to what we're dealing with today. But both elect candidates at open primaries. They basically elect the candidates at open primaries, and ballots are circulated to all registered voters. However, there's a side to Callisto that they did not see, and that is public perception being controlled by technology. And leaders that presided on Callisto were crypto politicians. They were crypto candidates, okay? Meaning that they weren't real. They were basically deep fake candidates. You know, have you noticed the deep fakes? We demonstrated the deep fakes back when we were talking about the moon landing. Or Nixon, they did a deep fake of Nixon. Well, these candidates are crypto politicians. They're crypto candidates. And one in particular was a virtual leader. His name was Yancey. Now, there are several things that Yancey says. There's several things that he does. And the image is so lifelike that people don't even realize that he is some animatronic puppet that has words put into his mouth by several Yancemen. They're a committee. Basically, they'll get together and they form opinions on what Yancey should say, and so they have Yancey say them. And he's basically, back then, he was the image of Eisenhower, okay? But Yancey controls public perception. Some aren't happy, though, with what Yancey's creating. The story basically illustrates how conformity can be used as a psychological tool. And if you create an all-American icon that is a cross between Ronald Reagan and Big Brother, the people won't care about things like foreign policy and terrorism. They'll only care about what the devil in the box has to say and what the graven image of a manufactured messiah can do for national morale. Basically a metaphor for the virtual antichrist in a lot of ways. And see, what is most troubling is how a totalitarian state was being manufactured behind the scenes while technology was being used to alter perceptions of the citizens, giving them a reason to believe that everything is fine, that every once in a while trauma would be allowed to happen in order to allow for the leaders to remedy it with more programming. Let me read you something. This is from the pages of The Mold of Yancey. From the story we read, we talk about here in the story how a heavily sanitized totalitarian system would happen to show its colors every once in a while. Quote, it would show up in hundreds of ways. Terrorist raids, political prisons, extermination camps. We'd hear about political recanting, treason, disloyalty. All the basic props of a dictatorship. Don't confuse a totalitarian society with a dictatorship, Kelman said dryly. A totalitarian reaches into every sphere of its citizens' lives, forms their opinions on every subject for them. The government can be a dictatorship or a parliament or an elected president or council of priests. It doesn't matter. So basically, the book is saying that a totalitarian state basically does everything for you. It's in every aspect of your life. It's full spectrum control, and they force you into or coerce you into having opinions you wouldn't normally have. So the way they did this, of course, was advanced technology, and that could be used to create a virtual world where people's opinions are formed by algorithms that put them in a virtual echo chamber. Yesterday, something happened that I wanted to actually point out. Yesterday, there was an interview with Nancy Pelosi, and it struck me as being very much like the Yancey story, where leaders are virtually programmed. They're basically programmed puppets, and they're programmed to say what is pleasant to their constituents. George Stephanopoulos, he was interviewing Pelosi on the ABC News program this week. Stephanopoulos had asked Pelosi about the possibility of a second attempt at impeaching Trump in the coming months if he moves forward with replacing Ruth Bader Ginsburg before the election. Here's the exchange, kind of bizarre.
Right now, our main goal, and I think Ruth Bader Ginsburg would want that to be, would be to protect the integrity of the election as we protect the American people from the coronavirus. And I have faith in the American people on this Sunday morning. I hope and pray we have a vaccine and that it will be soon, but it must be safe and efficacious when we do. Not one day sooner, not one day later than that. But the fact is, this administration has been a total failure in protecting the health and well-being of the American people, and it has had an impact on our economy. The lives, the livelihood, and the life of our democracy are threatened by this administration. So again, when people say, what can I do? You can vote, you can get out the vote, and you can do so as soon as possible. 10 states, as I said, on Friday, started their early voting the day that we lost Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
But to be clear, you're not taking any arrows out of your quiver. You're not ruling anything out.
Good morning, Sunday morning. We have a responsibility. We take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States.
So instead of answering the question, Pelosi came out with a random phrase, good morning, Sunday morning, and then giggled a little bit, and then she continued to answer. And the utterance appeared to make no sense whatsoever and came off as if she was being rebooted like a robot or a computer. Meghan McCain, the daughter of late Senator and former presidential candidate John McCain, said in a tweet, this is so uncomfortable to watch and confusing. It's like something is malfunctioning. I thought about when I saw it, I thought, wow, that's pretty creepy. I mean, like Pelosi was kind of a reboot from, they're doing a reboot like Westworld. Listen to this again.
The lives, the livelihood, and the life of our democracy are threatened by this administration. So again, when people say, what can I do? You can vote, you can get out the vote, and you can do so as soon as possible. 10 states, as I said, on Friday, started their early voting the day that we lost Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
But to be clear, you're not taking any arrows out of your quiver. You're not ruling anything out.
Good morning, Sunday morning. We have a responsibility. We take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. We have a responsibility to meet the needs of the American people. When we weigh the equities, protecting our democracy requires us to use every arrow in our quiver.
It's like a trigger or a reboot. It's weird. You know, it kind of reminds me of like, you remember when Jacob Blake's father was interviewed by Anderson Cooper? Remember this little episode?
They've late today said that Jacob was armed with a knife, didn't comply, that he had fought with police and put an officer in a headlock. I know you aren't able to say much about this, but were you aware of this? Is that accurate?
Some people say Brussels sprouts taste good.
I don't get the reference.
I hate Brussels sprouts.
Doesn't make any sense. It's like they get rebooted to say something strange. It's like they're from Westworld. They're weird robots. Like it wouldn't be all that surprising if we were seeing virtual news, right? And then something goes wrong. They're just testing it out on us at the moment. I mean, it just appears that in 2020, we're seeing programmed responses from Trump. We're seeing programmed responses from Biden, Pelosi. And people are just being programmed to go along with it. I mean, you can't joke about it or call attention to it without one party or another saying that you're insensitive or biased or something. I don't know. I mean, just like in that Yancey story by Philip K. Dick, kind of a Yancey Pelosi, right, going on here? It's kind of bizarre. I don't know. Perhaps it's something more than that. Perhaps we need to explore more and look more into what is going on here, the programmable robots of politics, and maybe some of us are actually responding because we're getting programmed as well. 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, Bicycle.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and you've just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. In order to access the complete archive shows and podcasts, you must sign up on our secured server at aftermath.media. It's only $4.99 a month for the archive shows and podcasts. Or if you want access to the Ground Zero online library, which includes videos, audio clips, ebooks, documents, a social media platform, plus the archive shows and podcasts, it's $9.99 a month. Again, that's aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. Thanks for supporting Ground Zero.